Friday live from the Wild Rose Casino in Clinton, Iowa. We're here to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you being here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest looks like this at about 10:15. We'll go around college football with our friend Bama Bob Trent. Bama and I will opine on a handful of games. Pretty good slate of games this week, so we'll get through as many as we can. 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that variety. Chris Williams is going to join us at about 10 minutes before the hour of 11. We'll take one more look at Kansas, the last look at Kansas, Iowa State with Chris. Hour number two, Mike Palm from Circus Sports in his regular spot. He'll kick off the second hour to some sports gambling talk with Mike Palm. To kick off hour number two, and then Tom Cakert will join us. He will opine, obviously, on Michigan and Iowa, about 11-point spread on that one. Tom Cakert coming up at 11:30. Our picks before we get out of here just before noon and back on the road and the long trek back to central Iowa. But, look, hats off to the folks at Wild Rose. Mm-hmm. They put on a heck of a show last night. Well, you guys did.
Oh, boy.
I got to get into this in a minute because I need to hear everything. what a story. And I'm sure that there's some that aren't worthy for the air. But look forward to hearing some of that stuff here in the next couple of minutes. But Wild Rose down here at Clinton, it is a beautiful property. I've been to the one in Jefferson. I've been to the one here in Clinton. There's been a bunch of renovations since we were here. This sports bar and its DraftKings inside of it, that is the retail at all of the Wild Rose. They put in a nice book. They've got horses here. Well, not here, but on the screens. You can bet on them. The food was great. The people were terrific. Rooms were better than average, better than I expected, way better than I expected. I had a blast. And you guys kept that blast going until they kicked you out of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning?
That's what time last call is here in the state of Iowa, and we made it up until the end last night. I am not the man I once was. Holy crap, do I feel terrible.
None of the people that were participating in that excursion were the men they used to be.
That is true. That was true. It was, I'm feeling it right now.
Oh, you must be, man, because you guys were going hard when I left.
I took a shower, and I can still smell the booze coming out of me. I mean, that Brommel camp from
somebody should punch
Overeast
you in the nose to drain your eyes.
it's rough. I had to take off my glasses here. It's I got to remember.
You're no longer 20-something,
no,
Trent.
I'm doubled up. I'm 42 now.
Right.
That is double the drinking age when it starts legally.
Yep.
And I am feeling it today. But a great
and
time.
Williams has to be feeling it, too, because this kid, holy mackerel.
He loves his whiskey.
Oh,
there were shots flying around. You had your first taste of Fireball.
I passed.
Oh, you didn't even taste it?
I didn't taste it.
We gave you the smallest of tastes, and you didn't even do that. It was a night, but like you said, I mean, the people here with Wild Rose are incredible. Bette Rivers with the contest that we've been doing, a big thank you to them. And these contests are so much fun to be a part of and to be able to do wagering kind of in a different way. And I think you and I, just as gamblers, doing these contests, and I hope the same thing for the listeners out there, is you kind of learn different ways to bet, different ideas. You know, you had theories. You did the futures one that got you in trouble with some people that were involved
in that
contest.
They brought it again, up again last night.
And we had to change some rules to make sure that everybody
the Miller rules.
Yes. But that's okay. And it's just understanding different ways to bet.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this contest right now. AD is way in front of all of us.
He's really good at this.
He is. He's been excellent, and he's way in front. But the way that this one is set up is because it's a season long and you have 5 free bets a week, it could get to the end. You can put together an 18 parlay. Yep. You hit that, you could still win this thing. And that's kind of the fun part of this contest is AD's kind of, he's strutting around out there thinking he's already got the trophy, another beautiful one that they put together.
Well, he's won two already.
And these contests, though, I really like that. So last week I had a theory. I'm going to do 5 two-team parlays. I hit one of them. I was basically even for the week, just hitting one of them. Mm-hmm. And if I would have hit two, it would have been on the positive side and obviously down the line. So I really like that part of what we're doing here is not just having fun with the contest and, the free bets that we get, maybe add a little extra money to our account, but ultimately just thinking different ways to bet and trying to maybe help the people out there in different theories that we come up with as we're going through this process.
No, it was good. It was good to see Todd Brommelkamp, who over from one of the East,
KGYM.
K-Gym. K-Gym, gotcha. Yep. So he does afternoons over there. It was good to see him. Who else was here? Ted Flint. Met Ted Flint for the first time. Of course, he's a very popular Cyclone fan. Mm-hmm. Ted Flint, met him. Who are we missing? John Liebel was here. Andrew Downs was here. He pulled up early, too, right?
Yes.
Did he not?
So we went to the casino
at 9:30.
That was a good call.
It was a really good call.
I wish I would have done the same.
You should have done the same.
Now, for people that were listening yesterday, yes, Ken did not eat a steak dinner with us.
No.
He took it back to the room.
Right.
Got himself a doggy bag and ate it at 10 o'clock.
About 9:45.
Now, yeah. I was surprised. You did have a beer before 8:30, though.
I did.
About 8 o'clock.
The rules. 8 o'clock. I was watching you guys. I thought you were going to drink the taps dry when you first got here. And they said the beer tab's open or bar tab's open. Have whatever you want. And, man, oh, man. But anyways, good night. Not a good night for the NFL to this respect, because Tua Tagovailoa, who we saw get concussed, they said it's a back injury, please.
Yeah.
I think you said it. The back of the head injury is what it was. But last night, Trent, watching him hit the turf with his head and the distortion of his fingers, mm-hmm. It's called posturing or the fencing position. I read a lot about it this morning. Just because, you know, what does this mean? And I guess this goes to the brain stem injury. Mm. This potentially is as bad of a brain, I mean, a concussion's brain injury.
Absolutely.
Let's cut right to it,
yes.
Right? But this is potentially as bad. And as are we overreacting here? Maybe a little bit. But you know what? The NFL needs to overreact as opposed mm-hmm. to what they did last week when they seemingly looked the other way, because we need them out here on Thursday night. It's a big football game, blah, blah, blah. That was frightening.
You mentioned that, and I hadn't seen the finger part of it until you pointed it out this morning as we were setting up here today. That's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, that is next level stuff.
That's a signal that your brain sends your body when your brain has had the instant trauma that it did. Fencing, look it up. If you're sitting at your desk and you're bored at work,
yeah.
or it's posturing posturing or fencing. Fencing, like in, you know, the sword fight fencing type thing, but frightening. So how the NFL is going to react? The Players Association needs to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
How they, you know, kind of rubber stamp the fact that he was able to get away with what they got away with last week,
right?
For God's sakes, and the quick turnaround. So your game is on Sunday. You travel on Wednesday. You play on Thursday. Just a horrible, horrible situation for the NFL. Game kind of got a little bit out of hand at the mm-hmm. end, right? Easy cover. Was it kind of a fluky cover at the end?
I don't know, fluky, but it was just a weird game, didn't it? I mean, it just had that feeling all throughout that there was goofiness happening mm-hmm. all over the place. I told you on the way over yesterday, I was very close to pulling the trigger for my survivor pick.
Yeah.
And not only that, but also making that part of my picks yesterday with Cincinnati. I just really liked the Bengals and ultimately didn't pull the trigger. And obviously, hindsight, you
sure.
wish you would have there. But the thing is, for my Circumbillions, where you got to put in the five selections, if you pick the Thursday game, you got to put all five games in. And I wasn't quite ready to put all five in at that point, and that's what kind of had me off the edge. But, yeah, the backdoor cover at the end, what was it, 2015, before that last score?
Yes.
So they were still inside of it.
Right.
And yep. so they still had it covered at that number. But, yeah, just such a weird night. And, yeah, we were watching the BYU game last night, too. That did not go our way, as I talked everybody into taking BYU first half.
First half, yeah.
Utah State marches right down the field, 7-0.
Yeah, they
Aggies.
Came to life yesterday for
they
the first
did.
Time. They hadn't looked very good at all so far this season. So they certainly did this. Now, you're going to get back to Central Iowa in time to do a football game tonight. Where are you going to be tonight?
I'm going to be up in Urbandale, my first look at the Jayhawks this evening. They've been in the top 10 throughout most of the season.
Yeah. And what's their strength, Trent?
Well, it's Kai Black. I mean, on the outside, mm-hmm. he's an outstanding athlete, and of course, a future Cyclone. Is
yep.
we've seen a lot of those guys
yes,
now in Central
have.
Iowa. So I'm excited to get a look at him. I saw him earlier in his career a couple times, both as a sophomore and a junior. So kind of see his development out there. Rottinghaus, their quarterback, is really good against Ankeny Centennial. You think of, obviously, Pizzetti's teams.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to be? It's
mm-hmm.
going to be the motion offense
yep.
and guys moving all over the place and trying to find the football. They're throwing the football really well this year. Their quarterback, I think he's 71 for 100 passing.
Wow, that's
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, I mean,
A, he's throwing 100 passes
right.
for Pizzetti?
That was a big part of it, too.
Uh-huh.
So that was, as I was going through the numbers, really eye-popping to me. So excited. A couple of good quarterbacks here tonight. I think you're going to have a really good one, and you can hear the game on 96.9. The Bull, and
will
also live look-ins. Yeah, live look-ins tonight with Joe Stacey and the crew yeah. with Football Friday Night.
Good stuff. All right, that's coming up. Bama Bob is going to come up. We're going to go around college football. Just a real quick as an aside. Looking at the slate in anticipation of our picks at the end of the show,
mm-hmm.
it's a tough week.
It is.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, look, our record would say that every single one of them's weak, you idiot. you're five games below 500, for God's sakes. It is. But I don't feel good at all about this week.
No.
I mean, I got a couple
I don't feel
of
good
plays.
About any week at this point. It's just not going well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone 2 and 3 every single week. You got the T-Box this week.
I do.
Yeah, you took it from me.
Well, for the first time in September, for crying out loud. But yeah, I've got 3 dogs barking, which is rare for me.
That's a rarity, yes.
It's a weird week. All right, Bama Bob's going to join us when we come back. We are live again at the Wild Rose Casino in Clinton, Iowa. It's a haul, but man, glad we got here. I got up early and actually drove around Clinton.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just to kind of check out the area.
Yeah.
I want to fill up with gas so I could just get in the car and just jet out of here because I couldn't get my company email to work in my room and stopped at McDonald's, but saw a little bit of the town. It's pretty nice, actually.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Huh.
You guys saw it at night. So how did you decide on the bar that you first one came to?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Closest bar to me, what did you ask Siri? And Siri, you just put it in her hands?
Get us there, and we got there.
Who drove?
Well, the waitress here.
Well, the waitress drove
the bartender, yeah. She took Ted's truck and got us going and took us to a bar. And
so she served you all night.
Yeah.
Nobody had known this woman prior to.
No.
And the bar's closing down here.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like a good idea to ask her for a ride to the... Now, obviously, she stayed with you guys?
She did, yeah. And then she drove us home.
And then she drove you back here.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the way to do it. Hung out with her and her boyfriend and...
Yeah.
And the bartender. And that was all that was out in Clinton last night.
And they had to flick the lights on and off to alert you that it's time to go home.
Yep.
Wow.
2 o'clock.
How many people were in the bar when it closed?
Well, just us.
Just you guys.
How many people were there when we showed up?
Just you guys.
Just us.
That's wild. Good for you. We'll come back to the Wild Rose in Clinton, Iowa. Bama Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football from a national perspective. Chris Williams this hour as well. Miller and Condon underway in a Football Friday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
That's GrahamCollision.com.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon Live, Wild Rose Casino, Clinton, Iowa. We take you until noon. We are in Coach's Corner, the sportsbook, DraftKings sportsbook. They have the retail, a bunch of it's really nice, really
it is.
They've done a nice job here on renovations. Let's get to our friend Bama Bob. That's what the music means. We're going to go around college football. We got a handful of games to opine upon. Bama, good morning. How are you?
Better than Tua this morning.
Trent, we were just talking about the same thing with Trent before it was most of our open. Bama, that was frightening, wasn't it? My gosh. And, you know, the posturing is what they call it, or the fencing, you know, when his hands kind of went into claws the way that they did.
Yep.
I read about a bunch about it this morning, and that brain stem is what they're talking about. My gosh.
Right.
That was just frightening to see, especially on the heels of last week.
Yeah, I don't think he should have been out there. I mean, I know they're trying to say, you know, obviously it's getting a lot of play down here, you know, from his days at Alabama, as it should. But I think somebody in the NFL or the Dolphins or somebody is going to lose a job over this because it was obvious from the week before that it was not his back. Okay, his head hit the turf,
right,
and he was woozy, shaking his head. You don't shake your head if your back hurts. Okay. Now, he could have tweaked it a little bit there. But I'll tell you, Ken, the other thing is it didn't look like a crushing hit to me. I mean, it's his elbow hit first, then his shoulder, then his head. And usually, you know, sometimes when that happens, it's like a car crash. You know, the elbow takes some energy away. I'm not saying his head didn't hit the turf, but I don't think he should have been out there is the bottom line. And I think there's going to be some people answer for it. And I just hope the kid's okay because he's fun and he has battled through it, man. He's had ankle injury. We saw the hip, and now these is obvious concussion last night. So he's got a lot
indeed
to
it was.
Battle through. Yep.
We received an email. The spot blocks are a little longer than normal here this morning. It's football season, and this is our prime time, right? So so we got to move, Bam, I guess is where I'm going here. Let's get your take on Michigan and Iowa, Iowa State, Kansas. Michigan, about 11-point favorite, Iowa State, giving about 3 to Kansas. Just your thought quickly on both of the locals, Bama.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one for Iowa. I just think their offense is, I mean, it's just really struggling. I mean, they good win against Rutgers last week. I thought that could be tough for them. But you're averaging 232 yards a game. I don't think that's going to get it done. I know it's at home. I might grab the points just because I think Harbaugh on the road, you know, is going to want to play it maybe a little more closer to the vest. Did a big game last week from the running back. I don't think he's going to have that kind of a game against a really good Iowa defense. But I just think it's just going to be hard for Iowa, even though they're at home, I think, to Michigan, I think, is for real. But this is Michigan's toughest test, so we'll see. Kansas-Iowa State, man, I love this game. This is like the old Big 12 basketball games, you know, back in the day with Eustace and those coaches back then. I mean, and it's just on the gridiron. I think it's going to be a lot of Iowa State fans down in Lawrence. I think it's going to be sold out again, which is great. They get a 2:30 ESPN spot for the game. I mean, when's the last time Kansas had that spot? Now they're going up against the SEC and everybody else. But I think Iowa State, listen, Deckers has got to play better. That's the bottom line. I mean, Jalen Daniels is their best player. He is all their offense, if you really want to think about him. He's their leading rusher. He's their leading passer. He's the most electric guy on the field, the best player on the field. So Deckers has got to not give him the ball, you know, extra. It sounds simple, but don't give him the ball two or three extra possessions, because if you do, he's going to score. But that's a really fun game, and good on Kansas. You know, I like Iowa State, but good on Kansas for what they're doing. And, you know, they're looking to go 5-0, and they get into the meat of their schedule. But, man, all you can do after five games is win five. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be in on this one a lot, even though it's up against Alabama, Arkansas.
And we will get to that game coming up. But we got one tonight, Trent, I want to put on the slate. And that's Washington and Michael Penix. And one of the transfers that has really worked out as he takes over the helm at Washington, UCLA. What kind of crowd will they get at the Rose Bowl? Will they top 30 on a Friday night?
With
35-40?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have an opinion on this game?
I don't. This is more just kind of a sit back and see.
It's 9:30 kick.
And I absolutely love that one.
Yeah.
You know, this is just a game where Washington, the win against Michigan State, looked great. Then after last week, how great did it actually look? Same thing with UCLA. You know, they survive against South Alabama. They were supposed to play Michigan in the non-conference this year.
Really?
And that game was canceled by Michigan a couple of years back.
I didn't know that.
How much more we know about both of those teams the game was actually played. But, yeah, that's where I am right now. It's hard to have a strong opinion the way that I look at it, just because both teams, I'm still in wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, I like UCLA's defense, Bama. Your thoughts on this one?
I like Washington. I mean, I've watched a couple of their games. I watched a lot of the Michigan State game, you know, because they come on late. I watched, you know, a decent amount of the Stanford game. And you're right, Penix is a story. He is the transfer quarterback, I think, this year that has made the biggest difference of anybody. Again, the meat of their schedule is still ahead of them. And, you know, who has either team really played? This is Washington's first road game, if you want to call it a road game, in front of 25,000 people or 75,000 empty seats, however you want to look at it, you know, in a stadium that holds 100 grand. But UCLA, you mentioned, lucky to escape South Alabama. They pummeled a poor Colorado team. I don't know that it's going to be any different. I mean, this is not it's not going to be a crazy environment that Washington's going into. So I don't see that playing on the road is going to be much of a difference. But UCLA's defense is not bad, but again, who have they played against? And I just think I'm on Penix until he proves me different. I like this Washington team. I think their DeBoer is really, I mean, talk about a 180. He is in the early conversation for National Coach of the Year, and I know they got a long way to go. You know, they're only a third of the way through the season, but so far, so good for them, and I think they're a player in the Pac-12, and I think they get it done in UCLA simply because it's just not going to be a tough environment to play in tonight.
Let's take a look at a couple of Big Ten West games, Trent, and obviously Illinois-Wisconsin. I don't know if the loser of this game is, I guess you're still alive in the Big Ten West race, but boy, you're up against it. I like this Illinois team. I've been telling you that since week number one.
Yeah.
They're a different team. Wisconsin, haven't seen a lot of them, to be fair, but we've seen the results, and they haven't been there. Watched them against, Washington State a couple of weeks ago. Your thoughts, Illinois-Wisconsin?
Yeah, this Wisconsin team, it's very simple. It comes down to Graham Mertz, and that's the way it's been now for the last 3 years. When he plays well, when he completes over 60% of his passes, not exactly a high bar, they haven't lost. He hasn't. They've lost a lot of games. And I think it comes down to that. I think Bielema certainly obviously knows the game plan, knows what they're going to do here. I think Illinois is a live dog. Just to cover the 7 points, but also have a chance to win this one. This is definitely a sprinkling. It's going to be part of the money line parlay for this week in the round robin.
Ditto.
I'm jumping aboard with Illinois at least keeping this one tight.
Yeah, I'm grabbing the points, Bama. Do you think this is a close game? Do you like Illinois, or are you on Wisconsin?
Oh, I think it's a close game. I think it's evenly matched, guys. You know, listen, both teams have a, I don't know, bad loss, if you want to call it that. I mean, you know, Illinois couldn't beat Indiana on the road. And then, of course, Wisconsin loses to Washington.
Should have.
So,
bad call.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and then, you know, Wisconsin goes out and gets pummeled by Ohio State last week. So where are they? I mean, you know, after coming off of last week, tough game maybe to put behind you, you know, prime time, that sort of thing. But I'm with you on Illinois. I mean, we talked about them early on in the year, not really to be a sleeper in the West. I don't think we all expected the West to be this chopped up. But, you know, we certainly like them to get to, what was it, 6 wins, and I think they're well on their way to doing that. But, listen, their season's going to come down to the next 3 weeks. I think this is a gettable game for them. It's a tough game. They're a 7-point dog, like you said. I would grab those, and I don't know about money line just because, you know, Wisconsin, that's a tough – it can be a tough place to play. And, again, the last time they went on the road, they didn't do so well. But Chase Brown, nation's leading rusher, you know what Bielma wants to do. And you know what? I mean, both these coaches are just kind of mirror images of each other and their philosophies. But it's all in front of them for Illinois because they got this game. And then, listen, the next 2 weeks, if they can somehow sneak out of Madison with a win, they host Iowa, Minnesota the next 2 weeks. Guys, they're right in the middle of it if they get this win. I don't think it eliminates them, but if they can come out of Madison with a win, which I don't think is impossible, I think it'll be tough. Man, all of a sudden the West might go through Champaign, Illinois, which is who would have ever thought of that, you know, when we started this.
Right, and as you mentioned, Iowa and Minnesota yet to come. Let's stay in the West, Trent. And speaking of those Gophers, they're going to host Purdue. And Aiden O'Connell doesn't sound like he's going to be able to answer the bell, which I think everything's lining up for the Gophers.
It really is, and I really before we kind of found out more about O'Connell as the week went on. If he played, I thought this was another spot where Minnesota coming off that first big win of the year, maybe a little bit of a look-ahead factor for them. Purdue hasn't been playing great by any means. But without him, I mean, this is just a different Purdue team. They'll move the ball. They can throw the ball. They can do it with whoever plays quarterback. But he has been just such a big difference maker for them. It's hard to come up with something confident. And Minnesota goes out there and wins this thing again. How high can the Gophers get in the rankings? You know, by the time we get to the end of the season, they were in the top 10, but it took a long ways to get there back in 2019. With the wins and the quality of wins that they have at this point, they had some iffy ones, you know, that season. Mm-hmm. This one, just keep demolishing people. How quickly they're going to rise up the rankings would be fun to watch.
Are you telling me they're going to be a part of my favorite TV show in November?
Probably.
Maybe so, right? Bama, your thoughts on this one?
I'm with you. If O'Connell can't answer the bell, I don't think Purdue has a shot. If he does, listen, I just like Minnesota. I like the way they're playing. I'm kind of buying into them. I just think Ibrahim being back just makes the world of difference for them. And he is so good. And he just, everything that they do and Tanner Morgan is allowed to do and what P.J. Fleck wants to do and that offensive line, everything else, you've got to have the stud in the backfield. And he is a stud. He is an NFL back without question. And I just think, particularly if O'Connell doesn't answer, I don't think Purdue has a shot. Listen, they're my guilty pleasure team. I just don't like them in this spot. I don't know about the number. It's all, I mean, listen, you can't bet it until you know what O'Connell's going to do or whether he's going to answer the bell. And if he does play, how healthy is he? Is he, how effective is he? But, man, I just like this Minnesota team. I just think they're, you know, they just keep going along about their business. And, you know, you mentioned – you know, their schedule and down the road, Ken. I mean, they're off after this week. Illinois at Penn State's going to be tough for them, but there's no Ohio State and there's no Michigan. So, I mean, and we know what the West is a little bit of a mess. So, I mean, you know, Rutgers, Nebraska, Northwestern, Iowa, Wisconsin, stop me when you hear a team that's going to blow them out. And I just don't think that – I think they're going to be in the mix. I think they get this one. They go into a bye week, and then they got two tough ones on the road at Illinois, at Penn State. That's probably going to define their season. I think they're the favorite in the West, regardless of where they are in the national picture.
All right, boys, let's go to the Big 12 and Oklahoma State and Baylor. This is a really big spot, man. This is a real big spot. We saw Baylor, what they were able to get past Iowa State last week. I don't know if Oklahoma's – I don't know what kind of team they have, Trent. I don't think they've been tested. They certainly will be tomorrow as we get the rematch of last year's Big 12 championship game.
And revenge certainly on the mind after that one. I mean, Oklahoma State being an inch away from being in the college football playoff and just reaching that ball over, just getting there. And I thought he was in. And then there was just an incredible play outside by Baylor to stop him and win the Big 12 championship game. I think that's going to be a part of it. What we've seen from Spencer Sanders, it's a pretty easy equation. He turns it over, they really struggle. When he doesn't, this is an excellent football team. The defense is not what it was last year under Knowles. We know that as he's up in Columbus now with the Buckeyes. But certainly offensively, this team has taken a big step forward here. I think revenge on the road. I'm going with the mini upset. Give me Oklahoma State.
Which quarterback do you like better? Shapen Sanders.
Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shapen was awful good last week.
He was good last week.
Yeah, it really was. Bama, this got the makings of a terrific football game.
Yeah, it really does. It was going to be my sneaky game, Kim, but, you know, anyway, it was just one of those. I hope it's as good as it was last time they played, and I don't know how it can be because that was probably the best championship game I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, it was just so evenly balanced. You know, there's a little bit of a noise around Aranda and Nebraska and all that kind of thing, and I don't think that's going to be a distraction for them. But I think Waco's going to be packed. I'm with you on Sanders. I think he's the best. Might be the – hard to say he's the best quarterback in the Big 12 anymore when you got what Daniels is doing at Kansas and now Martinez kind of resurrecting his career. But he's up there, and you're right. I mean, 10 touchdowns, one pick, that leads to 3-0. Now – Who have those wins been against? Central Michigan, Arizona State, who's fired their coach, and Arkansas Pine Bluff. And, you know, again, coming off a bye week and first road game. And it's a tough one, very tough road game. So I don't really have a feel for who's going to win. I just think these are really – I think it's just going to come down to turnovers. As Spencer, I like Oklahoma State if Sanders plays a clean game. But, man, it is. I just love Baylor and what Aranda's doing. They just week in, week out. You know, we've seen them against Oklahoma when they were really good. And, you know, and I don't know. There's just something about he gets this team ready to play. These are two excellent coaches. Gundy's been there forever now, it seems like, and, you know, had chances to go, and he's just stayed. And they haven't gotten stale, and I think that's a big testament to him. So I like this game. I hate that it's at 2:30 because now I got three to watch. You know, I like this one. You know, Alabama, Arkansas, Iowa State, Kansas. That 2:30 window's loaded tomorrow. So being in and out on this one as usual. But man, I like if you're gonna make me pick, I'm gonna pick Oklahoma State, even though they're a road dog. But man, it's just tough. Sanders got to play well. Got to play well for them to have a chance.
Let's go to the SEC. Couple of games to bring up here: Kentucky, Ole Miss. You know where I am on this Kentucky team. They get Rodriguez back. He's missed up until this point. They finally get their running back back. Levis is a terrific quarterback. He's going to play in the NFL or have an opportunity to do so. Trent, Kentucky, Ole Miss.
You know, I am all about Ole Miss in this spot. I found an interesting number. Rodriguez coming back for Kentucky. That's been the big storyline this week and how it's going to help their ground game that's really struggled, certainly by Kentucky standards and what Stoops has built. But running backs before first contact, basically showing how your offensive line's playing, 121st in the country. Mm. This offensive line for Kentucky.
They graduated everybody.
Is really, really struggling, and they have not played at that level. I'm going to lay it here. I'm going to take Ole Miss, and it's definitely on my list this week. I will bet this one for real. I'm going to lay it. When that point spread gets that big, something funky's going on.
Yeah. See, I've got that's part of my plays, and I'm going the other way the news. Bama, who do you like in this one? SEC East versus SEC West squads.
Yeah, tough game for Kentucky here going. I mean, listen, again, 4-0, nice win at Florida. I think Ole Miss is a much better team. But, again, I just talked about Dave Aranda. You know, Mark Stoops at Kentucky, he's building a program there. He's got a year over year, they build and build, and you know they are that. You know they're them. You know Kentucky and Tennessee are the if not Georgia who. That's the answers there. But I think they might be a little over. And I don't mean overrated. I mean overranked. I don't know that they're the seventh best team. I know they just keep winning, but I love Levis, what he's done, but he has thrown four picks. Okay, and that's dangerous against Ole Miss. I know they're transitioning from Matt Corral, but. The crazy thing is, guys, you look at it, Ole Miss leads the SEC and maybe even the nation in rushing yardage right now. So Lane Kiffin, for all the exotic, creative plays that he likes to call and is great at, he is one of the best offensive minds in football, and that is college or pro. This guy just, for all the frat boy stuff that came with him for a while. The guy knows offensive football, and he has changed his team to play defense and to run the football. And I just think they're going to – I think they're going to eat clock. I don't know about the spread because I think Kentucky can hang in there with Levis, but this is going to be, this is a real tough spot for them. I like Ole Miss. They're just flying under the radar. It's all Alabama, A&M, you know, in the West, LSU with Brian Kelly, Arkansas ranked up there. Ole Miss just kind of going on about their business, and they'll have their shots later in the year. But I like them tomorrow. I hate to say that to you, but I just think it's a real tough spot for Kentucky.
It is. I just like the points in the football game. We'll see. So let's do this one. Here's why I'm anxious to see, and I won't see much of it, Alabama and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this Alabama team, and we heard prior to the year, it might be Saban's best team.
Yep.
And it might well end up being his best team. I haven't seen that
not right now
yet. And I think it's the skill guys, especially the receivers. Your thoughts, Trent?
Well, I mean, you look back, they've had, what, 6, 7 just elite wide receivers. And now they have guys that are good, but they're not at that level.
Yeah.
I think ultimately they're going to be fine here, but a year ago this game was tight. It was 42-35, and they were able to move the football. Obviously a quarterback in Jefferson that can move around, something that has always been an Achilles heel of Saban's team. So I think we're going to get a good one here. I think that 17.5 number certainly is way too big. I think this is going to come down. Ultimately, Alabama's going to win, but I think we're in a one-possession game, you know, 7-10 points, something like that. I think Arkansas at the very least hangs around in this one.
What's the feeling down there, Bama?
Yeah, the feeling's a little nervous. I mean, and you mentioned the receivers, and you're right. You just go through that litany of guys, you know, Waddle and Devontae Smith and Ruggs and Judy and, you know, just keep going on back to Julio Jones and Amari Cooper. But just lately, I mean, just the guys at Messi, Williamson, that they've turned out, they don't have those guys right now. They tried to get right against Vanderbilt last week. But really, it's the ability to run the football. They just can't. They haven't tried to run it. They couldn't run it at all against Texas. Other than that one big, 80-yard run that McClellan popped, they could not run it. And Arkansas up front is probably as good. Now, their secondary is kind of weak and leaky, and that's not a good, not good news when you're looking at Bryce Young across the field. But I think this point spread here is way out of whack. I mean, I know, listen, Arkansas last week had the fluke game where the ball hits the top of the upright. I've never seen that before, and bounces back in against A&M, and they lose that game. And so I don't think they're going to have a hard time getting back up for this one. I mean, how could you? It's Alabama. But listen, guys, Alabama's got – they better figure it out starting tomorrow because they are at Arkansas, home to A&M, and then they go to Knoxville the next 3 weeks. That is tough. I don't care if they're Alabama. I don't care what you got in Will Anderson and Saban and Bryce Young and everybody else. They're going to play some close, tight games over the next 3 weeks. I think this point spread's way out of line. I can't – no way I can pick Arkansas to win outright. But I think this is a tough one. I just don't see this as a high-scoring game. We all like Sam Pittman and what he's done there. I think Jefferson is good enough to cause issues. Alabama is going to get after him and I think force him to beat them throwing. And they have a big advantage at quarterback. But – They're going to have to throw it, I think, tomorrow to win, and I think that point spread is just way too high.
We have 90 seconds left for this segment. Trent, real quick, NC State or Clemson, who's going to win?
I like Clemson.
Do you lay the points?
I think so, yeah. The offensive woes, Leary has not been good this year.
No. Your thoughts on the ACC heavyweight fight here, Bam? And it is a big game tomorrow.
It is a big game. Listen, I picked NC State beginning of the year. I got to stick with them.
Yep.
They haven't been as impressive as I'd like. This is their toughest test to date, obviously. Clemson coming off the win at Wake Forest in overtime, they gave up some points. They gave up some yards. So we'll see what Leary can do tomorrow for NC State. I love this game. Love it being in prime time. I'm gonna go with the Wolfpack, not very confidently, but I'm just going to go with them.
Trent, your sneaky good game of the week is what?
Battle of the Service Academies. I just love when they get together. And that's a sneaky one. You get to see old school offenses.
Yeah,
so
Navy
Air Force.
Sneaky good game, Bama?
I'm going to go ACC 230, another 230 game. How about Wake and FSU? I mean, I think that's got a chance to be a good
yes.
one up and down. There's another pretty good one in the SEC and in the Big 12. But I'm going to pick that one. I'm not going to watch any of it. But if you're tired of everything going on, you know, at 2:30, that's going to be a fun offensive game in the ACC.
And it's part of my picks, and I'm grabbing points in that one again. My sneaky good game, we probably should, most weeks we'd include it. Oklahoma TCU, I think TCU's got a chance to keep it snug. Bama, we'll talk to you on Monday. We're out of time. Appreciate it as always, Bama Bob. Enjoy the weekend.
Love it, guys. Take care.
Yep, thank you, Bama. We'll take a timeout. We're live, Wild Rose Casino, Clinton. We'll come back. Chris Williams will join us. We'll get his take on Iowa State, Kansas. That's next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Through 7th and 8th.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. Mike Palm kicks off hour number two. Tom Kakert on the Hawks right now. Chris Williams, Iowa Everywhere, Cyclone Fanatic is where you can see and read Chris. And he joins us. Chris, Trent, and Ken, how are you feeling this morning?
Fantastic. Just
your nose is growing.
I feel great, Ken. What about you? You went to bed at like 8 o'clock. You got to be really refreshed.
Well, 9:30, but I am bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, unlike you guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we just saw Ted Flint. Ted Flint just rolled out of bed and rolled down here to the bar. He doesn't look good. Flint doesn't look good here today. But anyways, Chris, good to see you last night.
I don't get any sleep because of my three-year-old, so I'm kind of used to it. We're ready to roll.
No, gotcha. Well, let's get into this game tomorrow. Is it as simple, and maybe this is oversimplifying it, if Hunter Deckers doesn't give Kansas a couple of extra possessions, the quarterback battle, I mean, obviously we know what Daniels brings for Kansas. Hunter Deckers, if he's like he was, efficient as opposed to last week, and he didn't play poorly last week, don't get me wrong, but if Deckers plays well, does Iowa State come home with a win?
I mean, I think so. It's kind of a broken record, guys, like what I said last week. I think it's really important for people to think about, especially when they're betting on games, is I think we all overreact a little bit to the non-conference, right? And, I mean, if you think about, like, what Kansas is, they're still giving up 3.6 yards play the opposition. The three FBS defenses that they've seen are ranked something like 70, 69, and 82 in yards per play. I still, like, there's a reason Iowa State's still a favorite here, and I think it's easy to overreact because Iowa State lost last week, but really, you know, power ratings-wise, they didn't really underperform that much. And, so I think that playing a clean game, if they do that, and maybe they get a takeaway, right? Like, I think that they will, Ken. I think it's a really good spot for Iowa. And I do wonder, listen, Kansas is a phenomenal story. I think they're like a 7-8 win team this year. I don't think this is like, oh, they're getting six. But I love the fact that Leipold's getting all this national love, and like this week, everybody's really all over them because of that Duke win. And it feels to me a spot where Iowa State goes in there with a real business-like type of football game. But Deckers is turning the ball over too much, like five turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, Jairo Brock, like, they've got to knock that off. And if they do that tomorrow, they're not good enough to just show up, turn it over three times, and win on the road against Kansas. But, yeah, I'm with you. If they play clean football, I think Iowa State gets one of them.
Yeah, in fact, that's what I had next on my list was about Decker. Is it him trying to make too many plays? Is it just a young quarterback? I know one of the picks last week was a tip ball, so, I mean, you can't do anything about that. But what is it about Decker? What do you think is kind of the issue as these interceptions continue to pile up against him?
I believe, for the Iowa game, like, I kind of throw that out the window. Everybody throws picks against Iowa. And the and then he had the 99-yard drive, and he kind of redeemed himself and erased it in my mind. I think last week what you saw was, you know, they got behind two scores, and all of a sudden the play calls are different, and you start to press. And I think Hunter, in that third quarter, was trying to win the game on one drive, right? And I think he probably pressed a little bit. But having said that, if you go back and watch the Ohio game, there were two balls that he went for 30-yard pass plays that I think would have been picked off against Baylor or Iowa. So it's not much as I would love to make an excuse for Hunter and got down and you're pressing. This kind of been a thing. So he's got to make better decisions. Iowa State's got a nice football team, but they're not good enough to anybody well, you know, when it when you got a quarterback turning the ball over.
Chris, what are you hearing as far as Remsburg and Norton? What are the likelihood the right tackle and the running back are able to play? And in Norton's case, you get a bigger workload this week than certainly last.
I'm less confident on Norton just because I thought that was really weird how it all played out last week. Like, why even play him if you're just going to play him in that role? It's running back. You need to be more explosive. I think that Grimsburg should be good to go, though. I was shocked that he didn't play last week. Yeah, I thought that would be the case. That's the deal where these injuries things with Campbell, you're really throwing darts. I would love to come on here and give you great insight, but like they tell you one thing and then the opposite happens. But man, it would be a really big plus because I think Grimsburg is probably their second best offensive lineman. If you go back to 2020, how good he was that FBS Bowl run, and they really haven't had him since. Man, that would be a really big deal for that entire running game to get him.
All right, Chris, let's wrap it up here. And as always, you're liking to dabble in a little betting this week. What are you jumping on? What's off the board? You said it was a light slate for you last week. What do you got for us this week?
I went UTSA tonight, -4. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
That's another game where 2 weeks ago, they
were a 7-point
favorite up in Middle Tennessee. Yeah, in Middle Tennessee, still celebrating. Mm-hmm. I love that. I went USC -25 against Arizona State. I love the fact that they won. It feels like a bounce back for their offense against Arizona State program that gambled. And then my third one, I'm trying to think of what my third big play was. Those are the two big ones for me. I really like those two. And then there's a lot of games that I like. I mean, I'm kind of staring at probably like Iowa State. I think I like Illinois getting points against Wisconsin. Man, the UTSA game, I think if I had to pick any of them this week, you guys are better at me than the spot, but isn't that a good spot for the Roadrunners?
Oh, it's a huge spot, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
For those very reasons. Chris, drive safe. Yeah. It was good seeing you yesterday.
All right, appreciate you guys.
See you, Iowa Everywhere Cyclone Fanatic for Chris Williams. Hour two coming up next. We will head to Vegas. First of all, our friend Mike Palm is going to join us. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. And then our picks before we get out of here at noon. Miller and Condon, we are the Wild Rose Casino in Clinton, Iowa. Hour two coming up next. Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.